And as we mentioned to you, today's different. We depart from the Gospel of Luke. We have a special time in the Word of God today. And listen, you need to put on your helmet and seatbelt because I'm going to go really quick. I'm going to be done early. I really am. You say, no way. Listen to this. I get no respect. I really have to get done early because the courtyard is full of ministries for you to go find out about. I really want, in fact, may you not be able to start your car if you leave the church without going to the courtyard today. May your car be cursed. Because you need to know what's going on in the courtyard today. Why? Because there are missionaries that this church is sponsoring and or mission organizations that we've invited to be here today that you can find out more about. And there are missionary ministries that you need to know about. You're sitting here today. How many of you, this is your home church? I know that's not all of you. There's visitors. This is your home church. Those of you who are raising your hands, do you realize that there's kids in Africa drinking water from your well? You bought it. You dug the hole. They're drinking it. And that is a missionary outreach. That's a missionary work that you've done. There are kids now that are being trained and schooled the Word of God in China. In China. And they're being taught to share the gospel, even though it is really the underground church movement that's sweeping the nation, that really that's what we're behind, is getting the true message out. You're doing that. You're praying and you're funding those operations and you're going. Many of you are going. Last year we had you go to China and to Russia, Mexico, and other parts of the world, and the opportunity before you is absolutely amazing. The gospel is called really the good news. That's what gospel means, the evangel, the good news. It means that we're to tell the world. Now watch this, watch carefully. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand high. How did you become a Christian? In some way, shape, or form, a missions venture reached you. Really did. A missions venture reached you. It could have been that you accepted Christ in some church, as I did. But how did that church get started? God was calling the hearts and the minds of men and women to establish a local work. Maybe you went to a Billy Graham crusade or the Harvest Crusade. Or maybe you were in a hotel room and you turned on TV. Or you opened up, hallelujah, that Gideon Bible in that hotel drawer and you began to read it, as many people do, and come to Christ. I want to argue with you this morning that you and I came to Jesus Christ because of a mission venture. In fact, you and I are in a church today because there were believers in Jerusalem that were called by the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God to the uttermost parts of the earth. Absolutely amazing. In fact, you ought to keep this in mind. The Bible tells us, and I guess, you know, we should really give a title to this message today. I'm getting all excited about it. The title of today's message is To the World and Beyond. I wish I could have a little Buzz Lightyear uniform to announce that. To infinity and beyond. Well, to the world and beyond is what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said to the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Think now, church, who is he talking to? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Now, we're Christians in here this morning, predominantly so. But I want you to jot down a few things. Because look, if we're Christians, if we raise our hands, and if we understand the gospel, meaning that it's really affected our lives, it's changed us, then what's that going to do and what will that look like in our lives? So again, this morning, if you're visiting for the first time, we're glad that you're here. And if you're not a Christian this morning, we're very glad that you're here. But this message today is specifically intended for we, the believers. And here's the reason why. Number one, jot it down. The gospel message of the Bible is for all of mankind. It's for everybody. But we need to define what that means. It means this, first of all, that its message is uniquely ours. And let me explain that. The message of the Bible, the gospel, is uniquely ours. And when I say ours, I mean this specifically. that the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation that this is God's message system sent to mankind. When I say that it's ours, it's not that we made it up. The Bible says that man did not make up the message that God gives. God delivered that message. Here's the amazing thing. God delivers the message, and according to the Bible, He infuses it into the hearts and the minds of men who wrote it down. And that's where you might think, oh, there must be a mistake. Hang on. They wrote it down, but the Bible says that they were moved or possessed by the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God down. It's without error. Genesis to Revelation, without error. Now, how can that be? Because God inspired the authorship of the Bible using mere flawed man. Herein is the genius of it. God did not use angels to deliver the gospel to you or I. He uses others who have been affected by the message. The greatest way, in fact, we say it today. I had someone tell me last night, the manager of Wahoo's Fish Tacos, the greatest food on earth, now here in our own homeland. Hallelujah, Jesus. He came up to me last night and he said, listen, he said, you are making our store the number one store by these endorsements that you're talking about by word of mouth. And we need to know when you're going to say something because we get swamped with people. And I said, well, praise the Lord. It's great stuff. And he said, yeah, listen, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's all by word of mouth. Now, listen, if that's true about food, the same is true about the gospel. It's by word of mouth. Yes, you can turn on Christian radio at 4 o'clock on 107.9 FM and listen every day, Monday through Friday. Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can turn on television. And yes, all that's fine. But the greatest effective ministry is by word of mouth. And God has delivered the message of the gospel, the good news, through another human being. Why not an angel? Because an angel cannot tell you and I what it's like to be lost. See, you and I can say to our neighbors, our friends, man, I know how it used to be and I know how it was. And I can tell you, this is what God has done in my life. See, it makes sense to me that God would part the sky, speak the word of God, and then zip it back up and go back. But He doesn't do that. He changes one heart at a time. It's called the gospel. And when you and I begin to speak to others about it, that's called, by the way, evangelism. And every one of us are called to evangelize. Lives are changed. Absolutely awesome. Amazing. The gospel is uniquely ours. God has called us to spread this news. It's very simple. John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus is speaking about Himself on the cross. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Whoever. Well, who can go to heaven anyway? Whoever. Whoever. You want to go to heaven? Yes? Then come on. There's a way to go. There's one way to get there. We'll talk more on that in a moment. But if you want to go, you can go. It's open to all men. Based on what? Based on John 3:16. For or because God so loved the world that He gave, sacrificed, offered up His only begotten Son, that whoever, there's that word again, believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever trusts, depends upon, looks to Him in totality has never-ending life. It's uniquely ours. God has sent us the gospel to reach mankind. You and I have been reached and we're to reach others. Very important. Also this, it's universally true. The gospel is universally true, meaning that the message that God has given us from Genesis to Revelation speaks about one key purpose, and that is to bring salvation to mankind. In the Old Testament, God spoke through His prophets unto the fathers. God used the nation of Israel. By the way, you know, you want to know why? Another reason why Israel is constantly hated and under attack? According to the Bible, it's God's vehicle to get His promises and His faithfulness to the world. There's going to come a time when the church, the Bible says, will be removed from the earth. And then it says in that 7-year tribulation period of time, Israel will declare the gospel to the ends of the earth. Think about it. It's very important to understand that God's gospel is universally true, though it began in the heart, for example, of a man by the name of Abraham. It's now reached all the way to Chino Hills, and it will go beyond all that wherever his people go. But it's very amazing and awesome to realize that the missionary heart of God is that for all men to come and believe in him. And that's universally true. The Bible's very clear that there's only one way to heaven, and there's only one path and one provided avenue whereby we must go, and that's Jesus Christ. And the world gets upset at that. Church, let's just get this under our belt and deal with it right here and right now. The way that we proclaim as a Christian, as a missionary, is narrow. Do you understand that? Why and how is it that some, in some bizarre way of thinking, we've come to some conclusion that narrow is wrong? We've been sold a rotten bill of goods that narrow is idiotic or foolish. Let me tell you something. Have you ever gone over the Golden Gate Bridge? Brooklyn Bridge? Have you ever been over like the Vincent Thomas Bridge? Are you going to stay? In fact, I want to suggest this to you. When you're on the bridge, don't you pay a little bit more attention, close attention to the lines on the bridge, the little painted stripes? When you go on the Coronado Bay Bridge in San Diego, that baby is high. And there's not much of a guardrail on it. I don't know who made that bridge. Maybe Satan, I'm not sure. But I'm not afraid of heights. I'll walk on the edge of anything. I got to tell you, I'm thinking about it when I'm driving over that bridge. I got to be thinking about it. Narrow. If I were to say, hey, there's Coronado and you're on the mainland, just close your eyes and put your foot down and go as fast as you can. No way you would. You'd say, no. Listen, narrow is the way. Straight's the path that leads to eternal life. Listen, you would obey those rules, wouldn't you? When you're making a cake or doing a recipe and you really care about it, you just don't throw this in there. Now I do that. Lisa gets so upset at me when we're cooking stuff because I have really bizarre taste buds. I'll do anything, I guess. Throw this in there. Hey, this is cool. This was on sale. Put some of that in there. It's terrible. I mean, I'll just do anything. If you're gonna cook something that's really, really great, you gotta follow the rules, you know? We have no problem with that. God says, listen, this is the way to eternal life. My son is going to die in the place of every human being who has sinned and come short of the glory of God. My son will pay the price in his death on the cross. He will purchase the ticket. And the tickets, there's an unlimited amount of tickets, but people have got to come and take the ticket. It's free, but it needs to be received. It's a gift. It's got to be received. I will force the ticket on no one. You've got to take it. That is a universal truth of the gospel of God. And this church is committed to getting the gospel to the world. We've got to do it. A great part of our budget, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, goes to getting the gospel out to the world and around the world. Supporting missionaries and building schools. Digging those wells. Doing what God has called us to do. And then also this, it's ultimately final. Did you know that? The gospel goes out, but listen carefully, it is ultimately final. Meaning this, that the gospel message is to go, yes, out into all the world. But understand this, time is running out. Just as though you and I are getting older and time is fleeting, the opportunity for you and I to share Christ is also evaporating. Someday it will be ultimately final for you. When I say for you, I mean this. The Christian, I'm running out of time to tell people. So Jack, you're not all that old. I'm not afraid about how old I am. I am concerned about how insane the world is. Pastor, I think it's going to go on for like this long time. It's going to be fine. I'm not talking about it going on for a long time. I'm talking about the person, the listener, the one that's lost, them not hearing it in time. I know that I can't save them, but I've got to view them as objects of God's love and affection, that if they don't come under God's love and affection and take that invitation and understand that it's available to them, time will run out. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, Paul the Apostle said, as workers together with him, also, we plead with you to receive the grace of God. Listen, to receive it and not in vain. Don't resist the gospel, the good news. See, it's not religion. It's your salvation. For he goes on to say, in acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't you hear the urgency in the Bible about that? That's another thing that we think is wrong. Don't push me. Don't push me. Nobody wants to be pushed into something. But I got news for you. If you and I were on the Titanic and it was sinking, can you imagine? Get on the boat! Get on the life raft! Quick, quick! Don't push me! The ship is sinking! You'll die! You'll go down with the ship! Don't stress me out here! I gotta think about it. Can you imagine being on the Titanic? There's a prayer meeting on deck 4 to see what you're going to do about the life rafts. You go to the prayer meeting, I'm getting off the boat. It's amazing to me. This whole globe is burning up. It's going to die. The Bible says it's... there may be an environmentalist in here right now, and I understand I'm treading on very sensitive ground here. But the truth of the matter is, read your Bible. The environment will never do better until Jesus comes back. It says in the book of Isaiah. In fact, when he comes back, he's going to cause the deserts to bloom. That's pretty awesome. So your cry to save the environment is appreciated. It's how you save it. Okay? If I have to buy one more Al Gore light bulb, I'm going to go nuts. Which, by the way, those light bulbs give me headaches. Al Gore cannot save the planet. Don't tell him that. He'll have no reason to continue. But listen, here's the thing. God sent his son to save you. You're more valuable than the planet. Let Jesus take care of the planet. Now look, we as Christians, we should take care of the planet. It's the creative works of our God, but we don't worship it. Big difference. We worship the one who made it all. And that very act tells us if Yosemite is beautiful, and if Yellowstone's spectacular, and if the Grand Canyon's incredible, how much more God's love towards you and his desire for you to know him personally. But time is running out. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Did you know that? There's no second chance. Why is missionary venture so important to us? The Bible says there's no second chance after death. Where did we get that idea? Well, I'll decide after I'm dead. I'll decide after I'm dead. Dead. How dead is dead? Now listen, it's interesting because when you read the Bible, dead means you have stepped from one world into the next. You're not sleeping dead. And you're not mostly dead. You're dead, dead to this world. But read the Bible carefully. You go from this world and your consciousness to the next, fully awake, but you are spiritually dead. And the Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You can't rethink this opportunity now. That's why we as a church must be committed to getting the Word of God out to the world. But how committed will we be at doing that? How important is it to us? Point number 2, the gospel message of the Bible is the only gospel. Can someone say amen? Amen. I am tired, as you are, but we will put up with it still. The people riding up to our doorstep, sweet, loving, beautiful people, riding up on their 10 speeds to our doorstep, and they're telling us about another testament regarding another gospel. My Bible says if anybody knocks on your door, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and says, I've got another gospel delivered to me by an angel. Paul the Apostle says, let that message be damned and the angel that delivered it be damned. Yikes! There's no other gospel. Then there's the guys that come to my door, men and women, very well dressed. And they have a briefcase and they want me to buy their magazine. Anywhere from 45 cents to a dollar. They want me to buy their magazine. And then I say, now wait a minute. What are you selling? Oh, we're not selling anything. Well, you're selling magazines, aren't you? What else do you have here? Oh, we have another gospel. And another Jesus. Well, listen. Earlier today, two guys rode away on their bicycles with a different Jesus. Completely different. a God among many others. And then, now you're here. Now, which Jesus are you talking about? Our Jesus is the correct Jesus. Well, which one is the correct Jesus that you're talking about? Ours is really called Michael in the Bible. Did you know that? Jehovah Witness teach that Jesus in Jehovah Witness Watchtower Society is Michael the Archangel. Goes by two names, Jesus and Michael the Archangel. And that he's not God at all. He's just an angel. So who's right? How about starting in Genesis 1:1 and march all the way through to the end of your Bible in Revelation? You will know who's right. God is right. God says, I have sent my only begotten Son. There's not another one. He's the sacrifice. He's the lover of our souls. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Why are we Christians? Not because we make him true. We are not Christians because we have made up a message. We are Christians because we have bowed down to the message given to us by the God of heaven and earth. We didn't concoct this thing. This is his revelation, the gospel. And we invite everyone to come and know it, just as he does. In fact, the Bible says that it's as though we plead to all men, be ye reconciled to God, says the scriptures. How interesting is it as a Christian that even though we're going to heaven, we're not happy? Let me explain. We are going to heaven, but we're not altogether fully happy yet. You want to know why? Because we have friends who are going to hell. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. Who said you can judge people like that? I'm not judging anyone. I don't have that authority. But the Bible says, if you do not take that gift that he's extending to you. Well, what's this? We're so funny. Take the gift. And you'll go to heaven. Here's the rules. God says, heaven, hell, death, life. You choose who you'll serve. Okay? So pick. And people get all upset. Nope. Why? I don't like the rules. Too bad. We didn't make them. He makes them. Pick. Choose. You're going to choose what you're going to have for lunch. You're going to choose what you're going to buy. You're going to choose what you're going to go do. Choose. Pick one. And people get all upset. And then they say, how can a God of love send people to hell? He doesn't. Here's the option. Pick. See, as Christians, we are to give them the option and we're to pray for them and love them and show them a Christian witness that will influence them to follow us. But what if they refuse? Billy Graham said, if I'm faithful to preach the gospel, decisions will always be made. Some will be yes and some will be no, but they'll decide. You know, you and I cannot save anybody. Our lives as missionaries are to just give the truth, and God will do the rest. But we must decide. All mankind must choose. See, in the end, those who are in hell, they can't blame anybody but themselves. In fact, when we see pictures of those in hell, they are blaming themselves. They're not blaming God. It's very important we understand that. Very quickly, jot this down. There's only one gospel. Because why? There's only one God. There's no other God. Think about it. It makes absolute perfect sense. Well, I heard there's all kinds of gods. And where'd you hear that from? Satan said that in the Garden of Eden. Hey, Eve, God knows the day you eat of the fruit, you'll become like God. Interesting, huh? That doctrine was in the garden from the beginning. There's no other gods. God says, I'm the only one. There's no other God but me. Not only that, but listen, there's no other Jesus but the Jesus that God has sent. And yet the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, listen to this. 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4 says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. I mean, the gospel's simple. Little kids understand it perfectly fine. Isn't it amazing? Are you guys with me? I'm pretty excited about this stuff. You tell the gospel to a little kid and they go, got it. Makes sense to me? And then we grow up and we get all stupid. And we go, we'll say something to somebody. You need Jesus. Well, let's talk about my needs. What is need after all? And then Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? I think I'm Jesus. Where'd you get this from? Isn't it amazing? Jesus said that we must become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. The more we get educated beyond our intelligence, the more dangerous we become. It's the simplicity of the gospel. And he says, I'm concerned about you because you may believe in some other Jesus that we've not preached to you and some other gospel that is not acceptable. Paul says, I'm concerned that you're going to be easily swept away. He was concerned about the Greeks in the first century over that very thing. And then hope. There's no other hope. Let's be honest. We've been, in fact, marching through Luke's gospel. I've been saying this over and over again. Isn't it absolutely true, though? There's no other hope. When you read the Bible, you come away. If you just read the Bible, you'd be so hope-filled. No one reads the Bible and comes to the end and says, man, whoa, what a bummer. No, you come to the end of the Bible and you go, wow, I want to be on the right side. What is the gospel? You ready? 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the evangel, the missions ministry purpose, for which I preached to you, which also you've received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ, here it is, died for our sins. Church, how many sins? Some of them? All of them. According to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas and the 12. And after that, he describes the 500 that had seen him, that saw him one time, James, the others apostles, and then I love this. And then at the end, at the last of all, he was seen by me also, says Paul, on that Damascus road. The gospel. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again. Everything, you say, well, I don't know if I believe in that message. I want to believe in some other message. Well, go ahead, choose. Just understand this. The gospel makes sense. The fact is, listen, the fact is you and I will die someday. That's a fact. You'll be laid in the ground. Your body will anyway. That's a fact. You may or may not believe this next one, but the moment you die, your soul enters eternity. That's a fact. Check this out. The grave terrifies everyone. You know somebody who's tougher than nails? They turn into little crybabies on their deathbed if they don't know Jesus. No one escapes. One out of one people die. And what's the message of the Bible? See, there are some who believe, you know what? You die, and then you come back, and you get to try it again. And live your life, and then you die, and then you get to come back, and you try it again. That's called Groundhog Day insanity. The greatest fear of man all around the world, even to the man in South America in the jungle with the spear and wearing the little gourd thong underwear thing, he does not want to die. He does not want to die. Where do they think that comes from? From the very creative powers of God. He made us in his own image. Check it out. It's amazing. It is only the Bible that whips death and conquers the grave through Jesus Christ. That's the message that we want to take to the world. It's absolutely the best. Point number three, and we'll end with this. Point three, the gospel message of the Bible is very expensive. Make no mistake about it. It's very, very expensive. I'm going to say some things that I don't usually say on a Sunday morning because it has to do with money. But baby, I'm going to lay it into you now. I'm going to make up for the last 16 years. Number one, this gospel message is very expensive. Number one, because it cost the Lord all that he had to buy you and I out of slavery. You know that? It cost him everything. Everything that you and I will never know how much. You and I will never know how much. It cost God everything. We want to think as humans that we were born free. born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows. I don't know, the donkey's nose. I don't know what that song's. Born free, we're born free. No, we're not. Not really. The Bible says we're born into sin. We're born under the slavery of sin's captivity. As cute as Mason was just a moment ago, you know, inside Mason's DNA, she's a daughter of Eve. Did you know that? I'm a son of Adam. And as cute as she is, and I'm sure when she's 16 years old, she's still going to be just as cute as a button, but she's going to be a little sinner. Just like me. Just like you. And the person's going, he just hurt my feelings by saying that because he's implying that we're all sinners. I'm not implying it. I'm laying it on pretty thick. We are all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need mission ventures to take this good news to the world to set us free from the slavery. And as a church, we've all got to get involved in this incredible commission. It's so expensive. It costs God everything. I don't need to belabor this, for God so loved. Don't raise your hand. How many of you ever been in love? Maybe you were in love. Maybe it was a two-way street. You were in love and they were in love with you. Or maybe you were just in love alone. Regardless, it's pretty expensive. And I ain't talking dollars. There's a lot involved in love, isn't there? Would you die? Would you die for somebody who you knew would reject you? Would you die for somebody who you knew would hate you? Would invent your name to be a cuss word? Can you imagine me dying for the world and them, and then the world saying, "Oh man, you're all jacked up." I would take that personally. And yet when the world wants to curse, they curse against the very one who died for their soul. Don't you think that's a spiritual thing? Huh? Hmm? Pretty amazing, isn't it? And then secondly, listen, it costs the believer everything he can give. Everything he can give, it costs the believer. We want this message to go to the world. But listen, let's be honest. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. How much of a priority is sending this good news whereby you're... Remember a moment ago you raised your hands? Do you want someone else to raise their hands too? Do you want your aunt to raise their hands? Do you want your uncle? What about your mom? Do you think it's important that your mom... What about your neighbor you don't even know? Do they have a soul? Where are they going? When we hear that, oh, you know, the guy in the next street over, he died of a heart attack, dropped dead. Oh, wow. What's for lunch? Did you know they went to heaven or hell? Do we even care? Think about it. Getting the gospel out should cost us everything. Meaning, how much of what God gives me every 30 days by way of paycheck am I allocating back to bring as many men and women and boys and girls to heaven with me? You say, well, Jack, this is a financial crisis. If you haven't figured that out yet, it's a financial crisis. Yeah, that's why we should stop investing in an economy that, according to the Bible, the Antichrist will rescue. Yeah, read your Bible. The Antichrist will rescue a global financial crisis. Listen. Why should I, as a believer right now, while I have the opportunity, be investing into a dying thing? Why don't I take my $5 once a month and invest it into something that will have eternal dividends? You know why I don't? Because I don't believe it. I mean, I do. I'm just... Think about it. How much are we investing in the things of this world? Do your math at the end of 30 days. Do your math. And then how much are you investing in the things that will last forever? Which one will you invest in? Think about it. Would you take right now $10,000 and invest it in Citibank? You've got to be crazy. Think about it. Or if you had $10,000, imagine, let's pretend I'm on my deathbed. I'm going to go see God in a moment. I'm a believer. Do I leave my money with Ford Motor Company? Or do I give it to China Inland Missions or Calvary Chapel Chino Hills Missions Ministry or Focus on the, or whatever? Think about it. It's a no-brainer. Where are you going to invest? It should cost the Christian everything, because that should be my prayer time. It should be my efforts. It should be my energy. Out in this courtyard, we have I Squared Ministries. I what? I Squared. It reproduces Jesus in people, certain kinds of people. Question, what are you doing? What am I doing to reach the Muslim world for Christ? Who's going to disciple Muslims who come to Jesus, by the way, at record numbers? Islam is falling apart. It's shaking the cage and it's showing up everywhere, but it's losing people unbelievable because their message has no hope and they've got no answer. So where are they going? They're coming to Christ. But what happens after a Muslim comes to Christ? I Squared Ministries wraps them up in the gospel, prepares them, and then sends them back into their Muslim world to lead others to Christ. You and I will never get a chance to do that. So what can I do, Pastor Jack? Support them. On and on it goes. What about Nepal? How are you going to reach Nepal? All you have to go is to that part of the courtyard today. You can reach Nepal. Isn't it awesome? You can walk that far, can't you? You don't even need a passport. You can, from right here, in a moment, you'll be able to go in the courtyard and you'll be able to reach China. You'll be able to reach Mexico. There's some of our missionaries from around the world out in that courtyard today, and you'll be able to taste a little bit of their food and find out a little bit about their culture without ever leaving California. Absolutely awesome. That's why I told you earlier, may your car not start until you go there. And then we'll just end with this. It's going to cost the unbeliever. Listen, how expensive is the gospel? It's going to cost the unbeliever his own soul if he rejects it. I touched on this a moment ago. We'll end with it right here. I am to proclaim the truth in whatever capacity. You say, Jack, you know, you got the big mouth. You up there talk. You got the microphone. You just do it. Isn't that what we pay you for? You just go do it. No. Every one of us, the Bible says each of us need to do the work of an evangelist. So how do I do that? Are you a quiet person? Are you soft-spoken and quiet and, you know, few words? God bless you. That's a sign of wisdom. Fantastic. Clearly, I'm an idiot. I don't have that. Can you write someone? Can you email someone? Just your physical witness is amazing. How you live your life is spectacular. Tell someone. Listen, I asked you a moment ago if you're a Christian and you raised your hands. I want to share something with you. There are things that are telltale signs of a real true believer. Number one is that you absolutely have to have the Bible. That's why it's such a struggle in your life. You have to have the Bible, though. You have to have it. Number two, you can't sing all that well, but you got to worship. You just got to worship. That's a sign of a believer. You can't hide it. The third thing is, you want to fellowship around God's people. You want to be around other Christians. If you say you're a Christian and you have no Christian friends and you live with the world, I seriously doubt you're a Christian. I mean, there'd be signs of new life. Another thing is, you wind up talking to God. We call it prayer. You just talk to Him. You're conscious of Him. But listen, one of the big things is you have a burden for the lost. You look at people at the store. You look at people at CVS or Costco, and you're standing in line, and you look at them, and the question comes in your mind, where are they going? Where are they going? Do they know Jesus? And you look at somebody, and you see, that's how you can look at someone who's very mean, ugly, bold, and, get out of my way, and you look at them and you have compassion because where are they going? You don't see all that external junk because you're concerned and burdened for their soul. That's a mark of a believer. That's why we have to be a missions-minded church, because we have a missions-minded God. And this is all vitally important. So as a Christian, let's remember, if the unbeliever dies in his unbelief, will we have done everything we can to get him the opportunity to say yes. That's our job as Christians. Somebody will say, well, that God of love of yours, sending people to hell. Not true. Not true at all. But what concerns me is if somebody were to someday come up and say, you Christians, you believe in that message of yours? Then why are you sending so many people to hell? If your God doesn't send people to hell, why are you by doing nothing? That concerns me. If we're going, then don't you think we'd be a little bit excited about it? And don't you think you would want to take as many people with us? Father, we pray and we ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd make us a missions-minded ministry of believers. Father, touch our hearts. Maybe some are watching their investments evaporate. Maybe it's $1,000. Maybe it's tens of thousands. Maybe it's hundreds of thousands of dollars have evaporated, maybe to never come back. And yet, what an amazing thing it is to realize that what we've lost in this world, we could have invested in the world to come. And we would have been richer. So Heavenly Father, move in our lives. And I'm asking publicly, Lord, in front of friends, this family, this body of believers, Lord, I'm asking you this boldly. I'm praying that you'd find our hearts healthy, our hands ready, our feet quick, our knees prayed upon. To ask of you, Father, that in this age of churches losing support and people paying their satellite TV bill more than tithing, and all this carnality and stuff that's going on, Lord, against the statistics, against the odds, I'm praying that you would bless this church with so much money, which it's translated into tools. And Lord, if it sounds like I'm asking for money, I'm asking for money. That, Lord, we would spend every penny that you give us. That it would go, Lord, to the missions, to the Word of God, to the world. Lord God, find us faithful stewards to be, Lord, those that would take in and direct out into the world, Father, as you see fit. And Lord, we pray right here, right now, that if there's a heart in this sanctuary that does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, that today that they would say yes to you. To the rest of us who know you, may we say yes again. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. And we say yes. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. All right, stand up. We're going to end in this song, and you're going to